And now let us be attentive to God's word as to a light shining in a dark place until the morning star rises in our hearts. Our first reading is one of the many First Testament, Old Testament, Hebrew Bible prophecies of which the early Christian church reinterpreted as a prediction of the coming of Jesus Christ. It clearly envisions a messianic figure born of the stump of Jesse. This colorful phrase refers to Israel's ancient hope for another king born of David's line. However, this passage was composed at least 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus. It includes a remarkable vision of a peaceful and just world over which the Messiah will reign. This is the Shalom we shall be hearing about throughout the Advent and Christmas season. Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning with the first verse, listen for the word of God. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. So ends the reading.
John the Baptist appeared as a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 40, that the Messiah would be preceded by a forerunner calling Israel to repentance. John's message was particularly harsh. The baptism he offered was the symbol of a sincere repentance and moral renewal in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, Christ. It is entirely possible that Jesus was not only related to John the Baptist, as Luke 1:36 implies, but may have spent some time as a disciple of John. In John 1:36 through 39, we also find that some of John's disciples left John and joined Jesus' followers. Reading from Matthew 3, 1 through 12, let us listen again for God's word. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, does not every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I am coming is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat unto the granary, but the chaff he will burn in unquenchable fire. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This season of joyful expectation is also the darkest time of the year. And as I was saying to the children, many people at this time of year feel sad, lost, hopeless. We're missing loved ones who won't be present at our Christmas feasts. We mourn for people we don't even know whose deaths have touched us. We grieve over things we've done or not done. We worry about our health and the health of those we love. We worry about the church, God knows. We worry about the state of our country and our planet, God help us. And who shows up in church today? John the Baptist? Ah, he is such a Debbie Downer, such a cranky old curmudgeon with his prophecies of doom and gloom. You snake spawn, he screams, like some off-his-meds dude on the subway. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, huh? Who? Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Whoa. Where's the forgiveness, bro? Where's the grace? Where's the hope? I'm not sure I want to hear from this locust-munching nut job at any time, much less now. And yet, if it's the second Sunday of Advent, it must be John the Baptist, who learned a lot from his scriptural forebears, those Hebrew Testament prophets who knew a thing or two about doom and gloom, calling people out, about the need for repentance, turning our lives around, like Isaiah. Now, we just heard one of the great messianic prophecies of the Bible. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. But Isaiah's beautiful words don't come in a vacuum. These words were written in a time of trouble, when God was not happy with the people of Israel. Look, Isaiah shouts just before today's text, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will hack down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall. That's where stumps come from when trees are cut down. Now, one scholar suggests that this stump Isaiah speaks of is what remains after the Almighty's plan for clear-cutting. Clear-cutting, the process of regenerating forests in which all trees are cleared from a site and a new equal-age stand of timber is grown. Now, I don't want to get into the environmental pros and cons of this method of timber management, but it is a challenging idea and one that we see throughout Scripture, that God cuts away or burns off what is not fruitful, not life-giving, so that new life may, in time, emerge. Meanwhile, a clear-cut forest can look barren and ugly. All those stumps, it's a dismal sight. And yet, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And so follows Isaiah's lofty vision of a God-anointed ruler and the reign of peace he will usher in, a world of interspecies harmony, of equity and justice, of God's perfect shalom, wholeness and health for all creation. All that from a stump, from the bottom part of a tree left sticking up from the ground after the tree has fallen or been cut down, from a lifeless remnant, a useless hunk of wood. Seen any stumps lately? 2 or 3 years ago in Rome, a young art student noticed how many tree stumps there were in parts of the city, sidewalk trees mostly that had been cut down. But do you know how hard it is to remove a tree stump? So some Roman stumps were just left in place. That's when 18-year-old Andrea Gandini, a student sculptor who had run out of wood to carve, decided to carve a face into an old dead tree stump outside his house. Soon, after school and on weekends, he would pack up his bag of chisels and head across the city, chipping faces out of what were once living plane trees, a process Gandini described as allowing the tree to live again. Seen any stumps lately? A writer named Sarah Geringer says, "What I've learned about stumps in the past 12 years of living in the woods is this: new life will always sprout up if roots are intact. The roots of our trees run deep. Those roots enable the leaves to leaf out, the trees rather, to leaf out season after season, bringing newness of life year after year. Unless the roots are permanently severed, the power of life will keep pushing forth." And she talks about her writing, about how being a writer was a dream, she says, "I held since my early teen years. And then after college, I put it on the back burner. For decades, writing was an old, dormant stump. But at some point, she started writing, and she kept at it. And she says, newness of life is flourishing from the old stump of my dream to write. It's not only due to willpower or hard work or determination. My dream is coming to life because God's timing has arrived." Seen any stumps lately? A church I once served, some of you know this story, the Houstonville Presbyterian Church, it was getting kind of stumpy. It was down to about 20 members. It hadn't been cut down. It's more like it simply had begun to keel over. Not from neglect or lack of love, but trees and churches grow older. They lose their sap. They get dried out and begin to die, and then timber. And then there was Iglesia Cristiana El Sembrador, an immigrant church with members from across South and Central America. Many of them were undocumented. There was a lively and growing church, and in fact, they'd outgrown the space they were renting from a different church. They were hoping to move into their own building, but the only place they could afford turned out to be pretty stumpy, too, in need of repairs beyond their means. So the stumpy little Houstonville church welcomed them in, rent-free, though their new partners in ministry put in a lot of sweat equity. The old church building was cared for and restored, and that was so nice. The Presbyterianos were given a new sense of purpose in literally welcoming their neighbors, and that was great. The people of El Sembrador, many of whom were struggling financially, legally, spiritually, they found a sanctuary of peace and hope to call their own, and that was wonderful. But more than all that, a stubborn little shoot had begun to take root and grow, bearing fruit way beyond the confines of the Houstonville church or even the lower Hudson Valley. For because of what the Houstonville Presbyterians had given the people of El Sembrador, they were able, in turn, to turn around and give to others through service and financial support locally and in Central America. And then, and you may not like this part of the story, the Houstonville church eventually closed. It was not sustainable. Its few members moved away, some died, others then joined other churches. But their legacy lives on, because with the help of their presbytery, they gave their church to the people of El Sembrador. And that church is thriving and full of life and making a real difference in its community. And that, my friends, is resurrection. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. Now, some might think that this church is getting kind of stumpy. I know there are those who say we like the size we are, and that's cool. Maybe God wants you to be a little church. But you can't be a little church with a big church budget. You can't live beyond your means. You can't keep spending money on yourselves, on perpetuating things whose time has come and gone. And though I know in the past you've had fewer people in the pews, you weren't always a church of just 35 active members. There has been some cutting away here. And it could be that there is more clear cutting to be done, that this stump may be whittled down further yet. But Saturday, a bunch of you went out and brightened some lives, including your own, caroling with school families at a local nursing home. We've begun the mission review process and started taking a realistic, honest look at the way things are. This church is going to be part of the Vital Congregations Initiative, which means that we will still have our own hard work of discernment to do, but we'll be getting help from the presbytery and the denomination, and most importantly, sister congregations. I hosted the first Vital Congregations Manhattan cohort group on Friday with representatives of 8 Manhattan churches, some with installed pastors, some with interim, some with no pastor, all willing to take a leap into a thing called vital congregations, because we all want the same thing, to connect with people in and out of our sanctuaries, to be of service to Christ by serving our neighbors, to thrive, not just survive. Seen any stumps lately? Seen any shoots pushing their way towards sunlight? Someone, someplace, wanders into a church seeking solace and finds it in the prayers and the music and the silent witness of those sitting nearby. She may not stay forever. She may not stay for long. But she has been given new peace, new hope, new life. Enough for now. One person's stump may be another person's resting place. A man who's depressed about having been forced into early retirement volunteers with a veterans group and discovers there in that community, in that sense of togetherness, discovers joy. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. A shoot more like a dandelion than a poinsettia, probably. Not glossy and eye-popping, but dusty, weedy, stubborn. Maybe not all that pretty, but pretty resilient. Nothing the world thinks of as glorious. Nothing perhaps the world even notices. Nothing, necessarily, the world admires. To whom, the prophet Isaiah asks in chapter 53, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. It's no wonder Christians have long read those verses as a prophecy of Jesus, the one born into poverty in a cow stall, who would be scorned and rejected and executed like a common criminal, but who would live a life of such grace, such generosity, such hope, that even the grave could not hold him. God comes to us as one despised and lowly. God comes as a tender plant pushing up through the most rock-hard, the most barren of places. God comes as one of us. That is the promise of this Advent season. A shoot has come out of the stump of Jesse, a shoot always ready to take root in our hearts and give us hope, no matter how stumpy and dead we may feel. A neighbor welcomed, a child fed, a prisoner set free, a loved one forgiven, an enemy embraced, a prayer offered, a glimmering flame, a tender shoot. Such are the signs of our Advent hope, not always obvious, seldom impressive, often easy to miss. Shouty old John the Baptist can be annoying and even frightening. But what is he really saying? God is able to raise God's children from stones, from stumps. So nurture each sign of life, however fragile. Bear good fruit. Have you seen any stumps lately? Seen any shoots? Look closely and take heart, my friends. Take heart. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.